My text verse this morning is verse 6 of Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? You know, if I was going to pick a fight with somebody and I was going to pick up sides, I would pick the meanest, toughest looking guy I could pick. If I was going to play basketball and I was a captain and going to pick up teams, I'd pick the tallest guy that could shoot. If I was going to play tug of war and I was going to be a captain of a team, I'd want the most stockiest, unmovable person that I could find to be on my team. And if I was going to face life and all the trials and the fears and the anxieties and the discouragements, if I got to pick who was going to be on my side as I face life, I would pick the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been through everything that we go through. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. I would pick Jesus to be on my side. The Bible tells me in the book of Philippians that through him I can do all things. He strengtheneth me to do that. But the text verse this morning says I don't have to pick. He's already there. He is on my side. The King of Kings, the Creator, the one that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, he is on my side. Now, I want to help you understand this morning who you have on your side. And to do that, I have to define for you four words. Four words that when the Bible says the Lord is on my side, these four words describe who is on your side. And each one of them, you might think when I mention them, I'll just tell you what they are. They're daysman, advocate, mediator, and intercessor. You might say, well, preacher, don't they all mean the same thing? No, they don't. They mean something entirely different. And these four words I'm going to give to you, I think, in the proper order, again, so you can help understand and realize and rejoice the one who is on your side right now. Right now. First of all, the one is on our side is our daysman. In Job chapter 9, the Bible says, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and that we should come together in judgment." Job's talking about God. "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." What Job is saying, in order to get through all these things that I'm going through, I wish I had a daysman. I wish I had somebody that could put his hand on God and put his hand on me. I wish I had somebody that understood God and understood me. I wish there was a God-man, a person who is both God and man. If somebody like that existed, it would be easier for me to go through all these things that I'm going through in my life. What Job was saying is, if there was just somebody that understood me and understood God, if there's just somebody that sat on God's throne and sat where I sat today, if there's just somebody that could lay his hand on God and lay his other hand on me, I could get through what I'm trying to get through. If there was just somebody that could feel my pain and at the same time feel the mercy of God. If there was just somebody that knew what God's strength was and also knew what my weakness is. If there was just somebody that could be God and a man of sorrows, that could be God and be acquainted with grief, that could be God and be despised and rejected of men, that could be God and at the same time be in the midst of all my circumstances, that can know God's omnipotence and my frailty, that could know God's omniscience and my ignorance, that could know God's innocence and my guilt. If there was just somebody like that, I could get through all the trials in my life. Now, I wish Job could have lived a little bit longer. I wish, and Job saw that this one coming, the one that he talked about. But we know there is somebody like that. There is a daysman. There is a God-man. That God-man is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And look, I can't understand how this is possible, because I know some of the circumstances that you're going through this morning, but I believe the Bible that Jesus knows exactly how you feel. I believe the Bible when it says that Jesus knows the pain and the discouragement and the heartbreak that you feel this morning. He's our daysman. He knows God and he knows us. And I praise God that that daysman is on my side. That one that knows me, and that one that knows God, that one that can put his hand on me and put his other hand on God and knows us both, I'm glad he's on my side. What shall I fear? What shall I fear? What can man do unto me? It's a rhetorical question. Man cannot do anything to us because God is by our side. He's our daysman. But we need more than a daysman. The Bible says that he's also our advocate. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." That word advocate simply means this. It means somebody that runs to my side. Somebody that runs to my side. So this God-man, this daysman that knows God and knows me, this man that understands me and understands God, if I stumble, as my advocate, he runs to my side. If I sin, this advocate runs to my side. If you're down this morning, if you're brokenhearted this morning, if you're lonely this morning, if you have sorrow in your life or grief in your life this morning, but, and again, you may not realize this, and this is what I want you to realize this morning, there is somebody beside you who has run to your side that knows exactly how you feel. Amen. You say, "Preacher, nobody can know exactly how I feel." You may be right from a human standpoint, but you are not right from a divine standpoint, because Jesus knows exactly how you feel. He's your daysman. He's your advocate. You have a hurt this morning? Here he comes. Here he comes. He's running to your side as your advocate. You're heartbroken this morning? Here he comes. He's running to your side. He knows exactly how you feel. You have a grief this morning? Here he comes. Your advocate, getting right beside you, knowing exactly how you feel. The psalmist asked, David asked, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" When David looked at the stars, he said, "God, I see everything your hands have made, the sun and the moon and stars. What are we? What are we that you even think about?" And David, I want to tell you, as I tell everybody in this room this morning, our God loves us. Our God cares for us. And when we hurt, when we cry, when it feels like we can't go on, we have an advocate that comes running to our side that knows exactly how we feel. So we have a daysman. He's on our side. We have an advocate. He's on our side. But I need more than a daysman. I need more than somebody that just knows how I feel. I need more than an advocate. I need somebody more than just comes running to my side. You see, I'm a sinner. My sin separates me from God. At some point in my life, and I don't remember when I committed my first sin, I wish I could. You see, up until that point, I had a sin nature, but I wasn't a sinner. But there was some point in my life when I realized that there was a right and a wrong, and I chose wrong. At that moment in my life, my sin nature turned me into a sinner because I decided to do what was wrong even though I knew it was wrong. And that sin separates me from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And so I turned my back on God when I sinned. God turned his back on me. And there was nothing I could do. I may have tried to turn around. And I may have tried to do things to get God to turn back around. I could have tried to live a good life. I could have joined the church. I could have got baptized. I could have took communion. But it doesn't matter. I was still a sinner. None of those things take care of my sin. There's still a gap, a separation between me and God. And it's wonderful to have a daysman. It's wonderful for somebody to know God and know me. And it's wonderful to have an advocate, somebody that comes running to my side when I need help. But I need more. I need a mediator. Amen. In 1 Timothy 2, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." A mediator is somebody that makes peace between two parties. A mediator is somebody that can resolve a conflict. A mediator is somebody that can end an argument, somebody that can end a war, somebody that can make peace between two parties that don't have peace between them. My daysman, the one that knows me and knows God, my advocate, the one that comes running to my side, is also my mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, "Therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Look, that peace doesn't come because I clean up my life. I'm still a sinner. That peace doesn't come because I join a church. If I join a church without getting, well, first of all, we wouldn't let you join the church unless we were sure you're saved. But you may fool us, but you won't fool God. You join a church and think you're okay with God because you're depending on your church membership, you are sadly mistaken. Amen. Joining a church will not make you any more of a Christian. Going into a garage will make you a car. Getting baptized will not make you any more of a Christian than before you got baptized. Taking the Lord's Supper will not make you a Christian. God's holiness must be satisfied. God's righteousness must be satisfied. God's justice must be satisfied. The wages of sin is death. That payment has to be offered. That debt must be paid. And Jesus, my daysman, my advocate, is also my mediator. Because when he went to the cross, he took all my sins upon himself. And in taking all my sins upon himself, he made peace between me and God.
Amen.
He's my mediator. He took care of my sins. He paid the debt that I owe. We sing the song, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe." Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He's my daysman. He knows me and he knows God. He's my advocate. He comes running to my side. He's also my mediator. My mediator. But you know what? I need something else. And you need something else. And Jesus is that something else. He also is our intercessor. Amen. Our intercessor. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." I want to tell you about my intercessor this morning. He sits at the right hand of God. The right hand of God. And he intervenes with God on my behalf. He reminds God for me on my behalf that peace has been made between God and I. God looks down. He sees me sometimes. And he said, "Man, oh man, that preacher still sins." Guilty. Say, "Preacher, you're going to confess your sins this morning?" I did already, and I ain't going to confess them to you. I confessed them right after I got up this morning to get my heart right to stand before you. But I'm still a sinner. And I think sometimes God looks down from heaven and said, "Man, oh man, look at that Daryl. He still sins." And the one sitting right next to him, my intercessor, says, "Father, I know he does. But I paid for that sin too."
Amen.
I paid for that sin too. My accuser, the accuser of the brethren, comes into heaven. Still there, hadn't been cast out yet. One of these days he's going to be cast out, but not yet. He comes in before God, says about me what he says about Job. Hey, you see him down there? You see that? Now, everybody else may not think that's a sin, but I know it's a sin, and you know it's a sin. And the one that sits at God's right hand says, Father, I paid for that one too. Amen. You see, when Jesus died for me, all my sins were in the future. I hadn't been born yet when Jesus died. And he proactively paid for every one of the sins that I will ever commit in my life. Now, I know some people say, well, yeah, preacher, you Baptist, that just gives you a license to sin. You think he's paid for all of them, you can just go out and do what you want. You know what? I can do everything I want. I don't want to sin.
Amen.
I don't want to sin. I'm under the, and here's how I think about it. He paid for all my sins.
Amen.
Every sin that I commit as a Christian in my mind adds to the suffering that Jesus suffered for me on Calvary's cross. I don't want to add to that suffering. I don't want to add to his grief. I can do everything I want. I only want to live for the Lord. I only want to serve him. I don't want to sin. Now, it doesn't mean I don't sin. I do. I fall. I fail.
Amen.
Just like you do. But I have an intercessor in heaven that says, that's under the blood. And that one's under the blood. And that one's under the blood. My sin, not in part, but in whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Jesus bore it for me. He shed his blood to pay for every sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's my intercessor. He pleads my case before the Father. This morning, my daysman, the one that knows me and knows God, is my advocate and your advocate. He runs to our side when we need him. He's our mediator, the one that made peace between us and God. And he's also our intercessor. That's who the Bible is talking about when he says, the Lord is on my side.
Amen.
The Lord is on my side. My daysman, my advocate, my mediator, my intercessor. He's on my side. I will not fear.
Amen.
I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can he do? Absolutely nothing, because God is by my side. You see, when we get in trouble, we don't have to go running to God. God comes running to us, and he knows us. He knows us. Now, let me ask you this morning. Everything I've said about Jesus is only true if you know him as your Savior. If you're still separated from God because of your sin, he's not any of those things to you. He wants to be. He wants to be your daysman. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to be your mediator. He wants to be your intercessor. But those things in his person are only available to his children. And if you're still in your sin, if you've never received Jesus Christ, you can't claim any of those things. But I got some good news for you this morning. You can change that. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you're a sinner.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I'm not saying that about people. I'm not saying about you. That's what this book says about you. You're a sinner. And you pay a price for that sin. You're separated from the one that made you, from the one that can give you meaning and purpose in your life. And there's nothing you can do to overcome that separation. Nothing. But Jesus, he overcame it. When he went to Calvary, he took all of your sins, on himself, and he paid the price. And if you come and ask him this morning, he will save you from the penalty of that sin.
Amen.
Would you? Would you? Look, I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago. And they said, well, and I was telling them these same things. He said, well, I don't know if I believe God or not. I don't know if I believe the Bible or not. I said, okay, let me just ask you something. If you're right and I'm wrong, and there is no God, and life ends when we die, then what have I wasted trying to live a good life? I enjoy my Christianity. I have fun as a Christian. Like I said a moment ago, I get to do everything that I want because I want to please the Lord. And if you're right and I'm wrong, I'm going to die and I'm just going to cease to exist. And I still think I've lived a pretty good life and enjoyed it. But if I'm right and you're wrong, I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to take that chance.
Amen.
That's what I told him. I said, if I was you, I wouldn't take that chance. Because I may be right. And by the way, it wasn't me that was talking. It's this book that's talking. This book is right. You may not believe it, but it's right.
Amen.
There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is an eternity. And what we do with Jesus Christ determines where we spend that eternity. I never could get him to come and ask Jesus to be a Savior. But I talked to you this morning. If we're right, if this book is right, you're putting your whole eternity on the line by rejecting Jesus Christ. You are. I don't know why you do that. I really don't. I invite you to come this morning. I'll have somebody take this book and show you from this book how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You could do it. You could do it in the next few moments. You could do it. He'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being on our side. Thank you for being our daysman, our advocate, our mediator, our intercessor. I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior, as their mediator, that one that makes peace between them and God. And I pray they'd see their sin, they'd see the penalty for that sin, and they'd run to Jesus this morning and receive him as their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, in this room, there's a whole bunch of trials. There's a whole bunch of heartaches. There's a whole bunch of broken hearts. Father, help us again to realize afresh this morning that you're on our side. You're on our side. You're there beside us. You know us. You know what we're going through. Help us to find strength in that truth. I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.